Elias, will you stand in your own defense? Will you hide behind your walls of stone, or will you face your accuser and defend what remains of your name? Stand before God and let us settle things in the old way. Blood for blood. Meet me on Farthing at noonday at the old hanging garden in the Golden Quarter, and let us allow God the final word. Let's end this, brother. What's up, you guys? Welcome back to another episode where we last left off. Elias begins to unravel as Hatham and the Spider's propaganda campaign begins to blacken his reputation. As always, I will have a link to the full playlist down in the episode description, so if you missed last episode or any other, you can check that out there, along with a couple of recap videos just to give you a sense of where we are in the story. All right, let me get out of my own way. I will catch you guys at the end of the episode. I'm Josh Call. And this is Last Colosseum. The porter ushered him past the guards and into the sitting room. It was elegant and spare, with a vaulted ceiling supported by slender columns. There were several upholstered benches along the periphery under patterned tapestries in gold and lilac. There was nothing to Brayden's eye to give any sense to the past or the inner life of the manse's inhabitant. That was by design. His boot heels clicked against the polished marble as he strode to one of the couches clustered around the hearth, in which a fire that was too bright and too merry for mid-afternoon sent waves of stuffy heat radiating into the chamber. The stones board on the low glass table between them was mid-game, and as the gray man sat, he absently studied the board, marking the pikes and channels that either player had been working to open and exploit. He didn't look up as the great double doors at the end of the room burst open. The piglet's reflection was long and white on the marble floor, his head slightly stooped from that big silly medallion dangling like an anchor from his neck. He was barefoot, the spider noticed. Brayden Kingmaker, the pig acknowledged, his voice echoing through the stone sitting room. The legend himself. I'll admit, I was surprised to read your note. Stow it, Shallow, the gray man replied. The piglet, who had crossed to the outer edge of the couches, closed his mouth in an indulgent smile. Through another door, a servant appeared carrying a silver tray set for tea. This he served with practiced ease on the corner of the glass table closest to the hearth. Shiloh's gray tongue darted out to wet thin, bloodless lips. "How's business?" Brayden asked. The piglet dismissed the servant with a wave of his hand. "Improving," he said with a nod to his guards. The big double doors promptly boomed shut. Without the brigands, we can move shipments twice as large of beef and pork without the overhead for mercenaries. Amend your other business, the gray man interjected. The piglet blinked. His servant was still retreating through the side door. A shadow of a smirk played on Shiloh's features. I'm not sure what you mean. Brayden stared at him as Shiloh measured out 6 lumps of sugar and mixed them into his tea. The spider left his to cool. I do hope you asked for this meeting to do more than slander me, Brayden, the piglet murmured, his sausage fingers twined around the porcelain cup. I understand that these days you do that by printing press. That must be more efficient.
You've seen it.
Of course I've seen it. I quite like it. Your latest edition was inspired. After a thin, suckling sip of his tea, he stood and crossed to an end table beside the mantel. He drew its single drawer and produced the letter, Brayden's latest and the apogee of his venture into propaganda. Shiloh studied it as he ambled back to his seat by the fire. I was just reading it before you came, he murmured. You've gone to great lengths to distance yourself from the Reaper. His flat, colorless eyes met Brayden's. How is it that you're now writing missives in his name? Kingmaker shrugged.
I was curious to see how your man responds. A sneer tugged at the edge of his lip. Turns out, poorly.
Can you blame him? Shiloh asked, sliding the letter across the glass table toward him. You've been slinging mud all over his name.
Brayden shook his head. He's been at it long before the letters. Sleeps 12 hours a day. When he's on his feet, he's blind drunk, bedding hinter sluts and putting enough spice up his nose to kill a horse. He remembered the rumor he'd heard after White Rose's disgraceful return from Araling, and his eyes flashed. And that's before he started beating his servants half to death.
He was admittedly erratic before, the piglet allowed, nodding. But surely your letters haven't helped.
I'm just picking at the scab, the gray man replied. The wound is already there. Your man can't be controlled, Shallow. He's a rabid dog. How long before he bites us?
Shiloh arched an eyebrow. Us?
The brethren.
The piglet took care not to let his face betray his thoughts, but Brayden could tell he'd already considered what he was saying. All the brethren had by now heard the rumors about White Rose's rising instability in the keep, and if they hadn't, Brayden had made a point of making sure they knew. He was a threat to their interests, one they had better resolve before he did them irreparable harm. And, as he reminded those few who were still in Brayden's corner, if Shiloh was more interested in protecting his pet than in safeguarding their investment, that was still a greater threat, one that could dash the merchant brethren to pieces.
What are you suggesting?
Muttered Shiloh at length.
You know what I'm suggesting. I think it's high time we snipped that thread and replaced him with someone who can be controlled.
Be careful, Brayden,
he murmured, staring at the gray man through the haze rising off his teacup.
That sounds like treason.
They both laughed.
So that's the reason for all this?
He jabbed a fat little finger at the letter on the table. Brayden looked at it. This one had been almost singularly aimed at Shiloh and the archpriest. He'd made sure that there was a copy nailed to the door of every church from here to the Stonebridge. Elias White Rose is a rebel before God, the letter began. He must be punished. White Rose has been a stain on the good name of the faith, the Edge, and the governor since his ascension as Femerial's hand. The Sirens can claim no piety when they link arms with so corrupt a villain. Every day, the poison he spews seeps deeper into the Edge, from the keep down to the coppers. The governor will know no love from the low folk so long as he tolerates monsters in his court. How long will justice lie in wait? White Rose's soul has been weighed and found guilty. There is but one punishment fitting for traitors and cutthroats. Has he said a word in his own defense? He hides in the keep, far from the judgment of the people. But the eyes of Cirrus see all, and his judgment cannot be stopped. He can hide from it in this life. He has paid 1,000 soldiers, priests, and magistrates to spare him the gallows, but the judge will not be bribed. Vengeance does not sleep. But that wasn't the part the piglet was referring to. His sausage finger tapped the lower half of the note, the part that was addressed to White Rose himself, separated from the rest by an empty inch of yellow parchment.
Elias, will you stand in your own defense? Will you hide behind your walls of stone, or will you face your accuser and defend what remains of your name?
Stand before God and let us settle things in the old way, blood for blood. Meet me on Farthing at noonday at the old hanging garden in the Golden Quarter, and let us allow God the final word. Let any who come stand as a witness to the final unchanging will of heaven. Let's end this, brother. He hadn't put a signature on this one. He didn't need to. There wasn't a doubt in anyone's mind who was levying the challenge.
You don't think he'll actually show, do you?
Murmured Shiloh.
And then what?
You're not hiding another reaper up your sleeve.
Brayden didn't answer. The piglet watched him with interest.
If you want him gone, it'd be easier just to pay a whisperer and be done with it.
Or put iron filings in his spice.
Shiloh shook his head.
You're twisted.
There was a note of grudging respect in his voice.
I already have a few minor lords here in Cliffside I've been cultivating. It'd be a simple thing to make introductions to the governor.
The piglet's round, flabby jaw tightened just a fraction. Braden could tell he didn't like the idea of losing his place of importance as the intermediary between Elias and the Brethren, least of all losing it to Kingmaker.
"The best part of it is that they're born nobility," continued Braden. "They know what's expected of them. They won't be going around bullying porters and bedding the maids."
Shiloh didn't answer for a long while. He was staring down at the stone set on the table, his lips pursed white. While he was waiting, Braden had noticed a narrow channel that Black had opened slantways across the board between two of his towers. If White didn't parry, he'd lose the game.
"This is a bigger question than you and I can answer on our own," muttered the piglet at length. "We'll need to take a vote with the others."
The gray man nodded. "But how much more effective would it be if we went to the others with a plan backed by both of us? I'm tired of being at each other's throats, Shiloh. It's high time we earned the name Brethren."
Shiloh had picked up one of his towers and was turning it over between his fingers, poised above the board. His gaze touched Braden's.
"I'm listening."
"I want to run my pits as I please. I know you have pull in the sanctuary."
That was putting it lightly. If any of the merchants wanted to bend Cirrus's ear, or at least bend the archpriest's, Shiloh was their go-between. Braden had little doubt that it had been he who first put the worm in the old man's ear to ban whoring and fighting at the edge.
"If the archpriest puts a word in with Femerial, we won't have to worry about getting raided by keepers."
"We?"
Braden hesitated. He'd been planning this conversation for days, but it didn't make it any easier to part with what he'd spent so many 7 years building.
"I want to cut you in," he forced himself to say. 2 bits on every crown."
Shiloh had pressed the marble tower to his colorless lips.
"What's the catch?"
"I want the same from you. Let's make our interests mutual."
The piglet tossed the tower down on the glass tabletop with a clatter that made Braden flinch.
"I'm not giving you my livestock."
"You can keep your pigs," replied Kingmaker with a wave of his hand. "I'm talking about the trade."
Shiloh moistened his lips again, his eyes darting between the teapot and the fire.
"Are you going to tell me you don't know what I'm talking about again, or can we skip all that?"
He reached for his own glass of tepid tea and drained it in one gulp. Immediately, Shiloh was reaching for the teapot to pour him a fresh cup. Steam plumed from the porcelain teacup and momentarily interrupted their locked gaze.
"Braden Kingmaker selling slaves," mused the piglet.
"This is a far cry from what you said last, Moot, about doing all your dirty dealings in the open."
The gray man ignored the jab.
"Do we have an accord?"
Shiloh thought about it as he freshened his own tea and returned the pot to its little tray.
"Very well," he said at length. 2 bits on every crown. We'll reevaluate in a year."
Braden extended a hand over the stone set to shake, perhaps a hair too eagerly because an instant before clasping forearms, the piglet withdrew as if he'd been burned.
"There's one other thing I want," he murmured, his eyes bright, "since we're doing things in good faith."
The spider nodded for him to say. Shiloh's lips broke into a leer. His teeth were rotted brown and a stench like fish guts and sour milk invaded the gray man's nostrils. It made a shiver course through him.
"I want your reaper's head on a spike," the piglet murmured.
He extended his hand to shake. Thank you guys so much for listening. It is truly a pleasure to be able to share this whole story with you, and a special welcome to everybody who has been catching the story for the first time over the course of the last few weeks. As always, it is a huge help if you leave a like or a comment on the video, and if you're catching this on podcast, you can do me a favor by leaving a 5-star review on the video. That really helps this story to reach more listeners like you. All right, I will catch you guys next week. Same time, same place. I'll see you then.